Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In this new golden age of television, fewer than 1 in 10 speaking parts on top TV shows go to actors older than 60. That's a counterintuitive trend in an era in which the number of older Americans is increasing. In Central Ohio alone, the number should double by 2055. A short-form comedy series with Central Ohio roots takes on the topic with the character of Harry, who has retired from a traditional job and returns to acting. But he's been typecast.
It's kooky and fun. You know, you were like the beloved fraternity mascot. Only instead of being like a bobcat or a bulldog, you're a drooling old man.
Isn't that feeding a stereotype that when people get old, the only thing they're good for is cheap laughs?
Columbus-based filmmaker Gabrielle Burton is the director and producer of the short-form comedy series Old Guy, which also stars her father, Roger Burton, and mother, Gabrielle Burton. Gabrielle Burton, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
Folks might recognize the other person in that clip, Perry Gilpin, famous for her role as the producer on Frasier. Gabrielle, I guess I want to start out with the fact that your mom and dad have both since passed since this was produced. Yeah. And I think what an experience and a gift to produce this show with them. It was really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it really was a gift to us, sisters. You know, I work with my four sisters in Five Sisters Productions, and and we had come up with this idea with our parents, actually, inspired by our dad's experience out in Los Angeles. My mother had moved there to go to film school at AFI as a screenwriter, and she won a bunch of awards, and they had been, for that year, going back and forth as my dad was a professor at SUNY Buffalo. And then after she won these awards and my dad decided to retire and have another big adventure, and they moved out to Los Angeles and lived by the beach. And through my sisters out there, Ursula's an actor and Maria's a director, there was a director who met them, my dad, and said, "Hey, I'd love to put your dad in a movie. What do you think?" And he ended up getting a lot of roles, and he was in, you know, on the Tonight Show regularly, or George Lopez would call him to be in skits, and, you know, Shameless, Monk, Fargo, all these kind of shows, which were really a kick. And yet what he started noticing was that many of them were just called Old Guy. That was the character name. And my mom and he would say, you know, these are really thin representations of what it is to be old. And so he turned down a lot of work, and he'd also sort of, you know, try to interpret characters so that they weren't sort of helpless or just the setup for a joke. And so they both were talking about this and said, this would be really a funny comedy series. And we sisters, then it kind of a light bulb clicked, and so we all worked on it together. And then they died in the past few years. And when COVID hit, there was such a rise in ageism in the national narrative that it became something that we thought, wait a minute, we got to go back to this project and finish it and put it out, because this is really damaging to what's happening with policymaking and the, you know, the presentation of our elderly. And so then having that time with our parents was really, really a gift and a wonderful kind of healing part of the grieving process of losing them.
Yeah, I bet. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about ageism in popular media today. My guest is Columbus-based filmmaker Gabrielle Burton. She is director and producer as part of the Five Sisters Productions of the short-form comedy series Old Guy, which stars her mom and dad. Gabrielle, I'm kind of curious about your sense about the ageism that emerged by way of COVID-19, that being that, well, it only affects old people.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a big point to make is that COVID didn't create ageism in our national narrative. It just exposed what's already there in a very bright light. So first it was that it only affects old people. And then it was, we can sacrifice old people. It's, you know, why not? That's better for the economy to, you know, give up some of our of our population that way, rather than thinking, wait a minute, old people are a huge contribution to, they hold jobs, they pay taxes, they help enormously with childcare and, you know, family support networks. They're huge parts of communities, of volunteer services. There's been an enormous number of, in the pandemic, of retired nurses and doctors who've come out of retirement to help, or researchers. And, you know, this idea that what it is to be elderly is somehow helpless or waiting around, you know, dependent on other people is really a mistaken idea of what it is to be old. And I think we're seeing that more and more as the boomer generation has been aging, because obviously they're not giving up, you know, going parasailing and is, you know, skiing off of cliffs and stuff like that. So when we see that activity, and as we all hopefully will get old someday, it's important for us to start looking at our own perhaps misconceptions or preconceptions of what it is to be old, and why we think maybe that we're telling all of us through media that getting old is somehow bad or being old is worse. That's just not the case. It's not true.
The episodes of the short form, they're about 10 minutes long, I think.
Well, they're actually very short. It's a short form comedy.
Short form.
So they're around,
I watched every one of them, but they just flew by anyway.
They're so funny. Well, they're about 5 minutes or under each. So you can binge watch the whole thing completely guilt-free.
Right. How did you prepare the scenes? How did you decide what topics mattered? And what you could convey in such a short form, too.
Yeah, part of that was inspired by these roles that we see over and over again on television shows and stuff. Old people presented as senile or incontinent or lecherous. And a lot of the jobs that my dad would get auditions for were falling into these basic categories. And I think my parents started kind of quantifying them. And then it was, you know, how much can we pack into 5 minutes? And so the series is very dense in what it covers and all the topics. And obviously there's, you know, always more one can talk about, but we were trying to make something to really make people laugh, and yet underneath that to put in a layer that makes you think also. As you know, that's sort of what we do.
You surely do. Oh, by the way, I saw Kings and Queens and In-Betweens poster behind Perry Gilpin. She is his agent. And of course, she's really well known. Her voice is so familiar as Roz on Frasier. What did she bring to it?
She is just so wonderful as the character Winnie, because Winnie is an agent who is representing her clients to get them work. And she's not necessarily thinking through what the roles do or represent. And so she is booking Harry into jobs, and she is trying to make them all money. And that's the other part that Old Guy as a series is bringing up. It's not necessarily that anyone's to blame. All of these elements of systemic problems are incremental. They're you know, multifaceted. And so what she's doing is being part of, she's a cog in, you know, a bigger machine. And as Harry keeps bringing up, maybe these roles aren't exactly good for putting out in the world, this idea of what old people are like, she's saying, well, look, do you want the job or not? You got your audition at 3 o'clock. And so she's just got such a dry sense of delivery as well. So that worked really well.
Yeah. She's got a great laugh too. It's 6 comedy shorts. Why a short form treatment of this? Is this just a way to get a crack, you know, open the door a crack?
Yes, we also did it through, my sister Jennifer is a professor of the practice of film at Tufts University, and we did it as a project with them, with students there. So my sisters and I believe strongly in mentoring people as well. And this is a project that we do something every year with students at Tufts where we have them do a project with us so they learn filmmaking with professionals, and they can get mentorships and introductions to people in different departments that can help them in their careers. And many of the people who worked on Old Guy actually have gone on to become producers, or there's Lysan Ho, who's an editor on television now. And so that was a great part of actually taking the topic of ageism and making it, putting it into practice, that we were having young people, middle-aged people, old people working together to create something. And it impacted all of the generations. So that was part of the inspiration for it too, was to apply this through the topic my sister was teaching at Tufts to create something.
The stereotypes that are presented in the show are so vivid, they can be reduced to costumes.
Yeah, yes, that's true. That's true. My dad does that kind of the requisite, you know, dressing room scene where you know, you have in so many movies, and it's kind of a spoof of that, except how people think of what it is to be old. So, and then also how he keeps being pushed further into these kind of comedic things. So then in the, I think one of the final ones, he's in a hospital gown with an IV, you know, and it's and the guy says, you look too healthy. The camera operator says, you look too healthy. Look a little sicker.
Exactly. It is also a spoof of the film industry, popular media industry too.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, I mean, the issue is that there are three parts to this problem of ageism in the media. There's underrepresentation. And as you mentioned, there's only 10% of people on television are over 60. Now, 60 is not that old.
No.
And so the idea that above 60, there are only 10% of all the people you're seeing are over that age, that's shocking. And the invisibility for older characters who are female or people of color is even much worse. And then another problem is the thin characterization of older characters, where they're often playing bits, parts used to develop younger characters more fully. So they're not really characters themselves. They're kind of foils. And then the third biggest problem is these stereotype portrayals that are often ageist. So there are scholars like Stacy Smith at USC Annenberg and Paul Nash, who have done studies to show how these ageist characters actually impact not only the younger people seeing them, but the older people who fall into that age range themselves, that they start internalizing these ideas of what is possible for themselves.
You know, we just lost the great artist Chadwick Boseman, who performed the character of Black Panther. And that movie kind of put it out there that this idea that you can't have basically almost an entirely all Black cast and make money, put that to rest. It made billions. It was phenomenal. It was an incredible piece. And it was a lot of it because it's Chadwick Boseman. It's such a sad thing. Only 43.
You see that over and over again, where there is sort of this big moment of surprise when movies will make tons of money because they are representing people who haven't been represented.
Yeah.
That way before, and people show up in droves because they want to A, see themselves, or B, see something that's a bit different. And so that's the challenge to all of us, is to think, you know, are we consuming media also that is reinforcing a system that we'd like to see change? And what can we do about it? And part of that, when it comes down to just consumers, is sort of voting with your pocketbook. What movies are you renting? You know, what are you going to go out and support? And then asking questions or starting conversations with people. And as we've done with all of our films, with Kings, Queens, and In-Betweens was the most recent. And then now with Old Guy, we're doing these community conversations. And that's our hope, is that people will start saying, wow, I never really thought of this, but now I'm going to notice it and I'm going to do something about it.
The reviews were good. This came out in the spring, you know, right as COVID kind of hit the ground running. What have the reviews been like? They've been good. What kind of feedback have you gotten from the industry?
It's been really rewarding. So as you pointed out, it was rewarding to have this experience, you know, just personally to be able to finish that series and to see our parents and to have those memories come alive. And then we, every week as the, when the next episode would go live, we would have a viewing party, a Zoom viewing party. And that was super rewarding, because every week it would be, you know, anywhere from 30 to 100 people or something who would be tuning in. And that was super fun. And then the conversations that came out of that. And then we've had fantastic coverage through the press. And then it was up for consideration for an Emmy, which was hugely exciting. So it's been really rewarding. And I think the biggest thing that we're seeing is that it has legs, that people are continuing to watch it and send it around. And that's our hope, is that the work that we do will kind of keep echoing out and feed conversations that are important to have.
What's the distinction when it's up for consideration for an Emmy? What, could you explain that?
So, yeah, so it's sort of funny because I think it's that you can, if you make a TV series, you can get basically into the consideration for nomination. So, you know, I think it's 4 or 5 shows that get nominated, and then there are a larger group of shows that are up for consideration. So you have to be invited by the Academy, or, you know, approved by the Academy to be up for consideration. So that was really an exciting moment there. And so I kind of laugh that it's an honor to be nominated to be nominated.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, apparently. So go for it. My guest is Gabrielle Burton. She is director and producer of the short form comedy series Old Guy, which starring her parents, Gabrielle Burton and Roger Burton. I will have a link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We'll have a link to the series so you can binge watch it. And I'll, what it'll be 20, maybe 30 minutes total.
Yeah, 20, yeah. 25, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's certainly worth a lot more than 25 minutes. So give that a look. Check it out. We're going to keep Gabrielle Burton on with us as we continue to talk about ageism in popular media and what the ramifications are of that and how it could change. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. In this new golden age of television, fewer than 1 in 10 speaking parts on top TV shows go to actors older than 60. And that's a counterintuitive trend in an era in which the number of older Americans is increasing. In Central Ohio alone, the number should double by 2055. A short-form comedy series with Central Ohio roots takes on the topic with humor and pathos, focusing on the character of Harry, who has retired from a traditional job and returns to acting. But he's been typecast. And we've been talking about that with Columbus-based filmmaker Gabrielle Burton, director and producer of the short-form comedy series Old Guy, which was inspired by her father, Roger Burton, who plays the role of Harry. Holly DeBelko-Shoney is the research director of Age-Friendly Communities, Columbus and Franklin County, and an Ohio State associate professor in the College of Social Work. Welcome to the show, Holly.
Thank you very much.
What is it about our culture that engenders such widespread ageism?
Yeah, we continue to have a youth-focused culture, from advertising to the film media, television media, around negative images of aging. And a lot of this is based within this idea that all older people are the same and that older people need to be protected somehow. And so we neglect to see the heterogeneity of older adults and neglect to see the fact that the majority of older adults are healthy and live productive lives.
Is it something endemic in our society, in our culture here?
Well, we certainly, when we sort of glorify youth and we see value in young age, as opposed to seeing value in lived experience and in understanding that our history is a strong predictor and lessons learned about where we go next. We assume that older folks are not interested in technology and innovation and new ways of thinking, when that's not true. Some of the most significant inventions and work has been done by individuals in older lives.
You know, I started thinking, Gabrielle Burton, about and Holly DeBelco Shoney about that movie, Waking Ned Divine. I've just kind of in my mind, I've just been tossing around what shows, what movies do give a rich and meaningful view of older people. And Waking Ned Divine occurred to me. Of course, it's about a guy who dies.
Well, that is part of, you know, being alive. And,
right.
That's sort of our Darwinian ticket price that we have to pay all one day. But hopefully we all end up that old. And that's, you know, why it's important not to have ageist representation, because we're all going to hopefully reach that age. And now there are these wonderful shows like Grace and Frankie,
yeah,
which is fantastic, or The Kaminsky Method,
yes,
has run off after that because they saw the enormous success of Grace and Frankie. And so I think there are going to be more shows that are representing, you know, much more diversity on screen.
And you know, I think Kaminsky Method is a good example of Grace and Frankie. Love the show Jane Fonda and
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin's fabulous show, and Kaminsky Method with
Alan Arkin.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mike Douglas. And it feels like Kaminsky Method is less. It feels like to me that it was less about aging per se, whereas Grace and Frankie definitely feels like it's a time in their lives and they're grappling with it very successfully, albeit. But I mean, I'm wondering when it gets to the point, Holly DeBelco Shoney, when we're not thinking, oh, this is a show that was created to dispel stereotypes about older people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think a lot of that has to do with seeing older people as whole beings. So much of the theme in Grace and Frankie is around relationships and sex and stereotypes that somehow when we are an older person, that we are not a whole being, where we have relationships and love and our, you know, enjoy our artistic expression and creation. So the more we have opportunities like that to see those images, and for us as we age to see ourselves in those roles, the better. I do think that thinking about age chronologically is a real problem. We don't think about psychological, social, biological, the complexities about what aging really means. And that starts, I was so pleased to hear Gabrielle talk about her engagement with young filmmakers and students. There is such a need to counter the negative stereotypes that young people are hearing through social media from, you know, the hashtag okay boomer,
right,
to now with COVID, hashtag boomer remover or hashtag grandma killer.
Wow, I have not seen those.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's really disturbing. And so there is a need for not only older people to see positive images of aging, we need to get to our younger folks and teach them, for example, that less than 5% of older adults live in a nursing home at any one time. There are fewer older adults who are disabled than there are older adults who are disabled. So this countering the popular media, the social media messages with younger students is really critical in addressing ageism.
Yeah, and some of this has to do with representation behind the camera. Yes. And in the writer's room, because that's what my mother would say is, you know, woe betide the writers of these TV shows when they get to be old, because that's the problem, is that they don't have that influence of the richness of understanding what it's like from people who are there or time around their elders. And so that's what we need to do, is sort of increase the awareness and understanding of the complexity of what it is to be old. And it doesn't mean that some of those things aren't funny, or that there are needs that people have, you know, physically for certain aids as they age and that kind of thing. But when that's all you see, that's the problem.
What kind of feedback did you get, Gabrielle, from the students that you worked with on the programs?
Oh, it's so interesting, because they were involved up through the, you know, writing of the script and doing research about it. And so my sister said that a lot of them after came back to her, you know, this a couple years later, because we shot this a few years ago, and said, wow, I just, you know, have noticed ageism everywhere. And also that then they are doing something about it. They're not dismissing, you know, elders that they encounter, but also working with people and not thinking about that when they're, or rather thinking proactively in a positive way about the richness that someone can bring to their work and their lives.
You mentioned Holly DeBelguascione, that people kind of tend to have, there's like two things going on. All older people are the same and they need to be protected. And I think of more of the, I don't know what kind of word I would use to describe, but the idea of avoiding them, of not wanting to see them, of neglecting them. I think of that song by John Prine, Hello in There. You know, what are they thinking about? Does anybody stop to just say hello in there? And that's, I guess, we're kind of getting to more aged people. But be that as it may, what about this? Is that part of what this is all about, is we don't want to acknowledge our own, you know, mortality? So let's not think about it. Let's just...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that we because of ageism, we associate old age with decline and disability and the sort of end of life, when in reality, that is not how the majority of us age. And I think we ourselves buy into those stereotypes. In fact, Becca Levy does some really interesting work in this area. She's at Yale in public health. And she did a seminal study that found that those of us who believe in those aging stereotypes, we actually live 7.5 years shorter lives than those who don't embrace those stereotypes. And so we think about, as individuals, the importance of being exposed and engaged with older adults. But as Gabrielle said, we also need those older adults to be seen and engaged as experts, providing their voices and expertise, bringing their voices and expertise to the table. And really hearing from them directly, what are your lived experiences? What does this look like? And certainly there are changes to our body that are not disease related as we age. You know, we our hearing, our sight, our reaction time, there's certainly changes that occur. But there are also a number of positive parts of aging that we don't share and talk about. And as families are more spread out, we don't see those older relatives. And that's filled with images and media.
You know, Gabrielle Burton, your mom and dad had to be such incredible role models for this. I mean, they lived it. They moved out to L.A., you know, in retirement. Your dad went back into acting, something he'd set aside for decades.
Oh, I have to say, that's he wasn't ever an actor.
That was just the show. Okay, great.
Yeah, no, he actually had been a jazz musician as a child. He was a professional jazz musician. And then he ended up going into research and teaching.
Okay.
And so when he went to LA, it was actually a complete happenstance and a lark. And he had because he had been a musician and had, you know, played with Peggy Lee and all these, you know, Nat King Cole and all these big bands, he was very comfortable, you know, on stage. He was in a lot of old Hollywood movies because they'd have bands in the background. And so he just didn't have a problem with it. And that actually led to him getting a lot more work because he was just super relaxed and he didn't really have a lot of skin in the game. He wasn't, you know, trying to become a star. and he just was having a lot of fun, which then translates. I think with that, also what was an interesting sidebar to it is that when he was going and doing these auditions up through, you know, age 90, he was constantly memorizing short bits of dialogue.
Yeah.
And so that as a mental, you know, exercise was pretty cool. And also that, you know, he's getting up and going and doing these things. So you're right, Anne. It's exactly when you have these role models. And you know, I'm not minimizing the challenges that my parents face health-wise as they aged. But despite those challenges, or, you know, in the face of them, they still just kept on keeping on. And they were engaged with the community. They were poll workers. They, you know, went out to do whatever they could to build up community around them.
You know, Holly DeBelgo-Shoney, your organization doesn't use the word elderly. And I wonder, do you use the word retirement?
Sure. Retirement is something that people do, though increasingly less and less. Retirement looks very different than it has in the past. We are seeing an increase in the number of older workers in the workforce. And some of that is by choice, some of it is not. But we do know that work life or even volunteer life provides you with important social connections and roles that are protective factors. So those social connections and networks are strong predictors of the length and quality of your life. So staying engaged in your community, utilizing your brain, using your brain, and those are all very important predictors of how long and how well you'll live.
And Gabrielle, your mom and dad, they didn't just stay engaged. They moved across the country to a whole new community. And your mom, he's just, you know, she was already an author. She's very accomplished, a lovely person. But did you have family conversations about the decision to do that?
Oh, you know, my parents were real adventurers their whole lives, and they didn't really let sort of the lack of money, let's say, stop them. So they would drag us around, you know, the country in our station wagon to research my mom's book on the Donner Party, or take us around the world, and we'd, you know, backpack and bicycle and eat rice and bananas. And that was the way that we could do it. And it was just because they wanted adventure. And so they felt, well, let's all go as a family, and made it work. And I think that they never gave up that kind of a spirit just because of a number on their, you know, driver's license. And so, I mean, I didn't mean that as like points. I meant that as their age.
I knew what you meant.
My mother actually was, when she died, she was writing a book called Don't Sit Down Yet. Yeah. And it was about aging and living fully until you die. And she was then surprised in the writing of it to find out that she had pancreatic cancer, and that, you know, is what she died from suddenly. And yet even then she just continued to write, and, you know, eventually it got to the point where she couldn't type anymore because of the chemotherapy, but she just continued on. And the idea was having those kind of dreams and ambitions and interests is something that is so important for everyone to, you know, encourage each other to do. And the title came from that elephants, there's a certain kind of, I think it's an Indian or African elephant, when they get so big, they can't get up if they sit down. And when they're old enough that they're going to die, they go off and they sit down. And so my parents were sort of poking each other all the time when they felt, you know, don't sit down yet. Like, get back up. Keep getting up.
Interesting. We will continue our conversation. Columbus-based filmmaker Gabriel Burton, director and producer of the short-form comedy series Old Guy. Also with us, Holly DeBelco-Shoney. She is a research director of Age-Friendly Communities, Columbus and Franklin County. She's also an associate professor at Ohio State's College of Social Work. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. We are talking about ageism and it's how it is reflected in popular media. Still with us, Columbus-based filmmaker Gabriel Burton, director and producer of the short-form comedy series Old Guy, and also Holly DeBelco-Shoney, research director of Age-Friendly Communities, Columbus and Franklin County, also professor in the College of Social Work at OSU. If you want to check out Old Guy, I highly recommend it. You can go to the link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. I wanted to just kick this off with an email we received from Debbie. She said, I quoted something to my dad that I thought was interesting. Quote, old age is full of last times. Young age is full of first times. He said, well, then to stay young, you need to keep finding first times. He lived to be 90, and until Alzheimer's, he was young and joyful. That really got me, Gabriel Burton.
That's so wonderful. Thanks for that email. Yeah, I just thought of something, which is that how we focus so much, and I think Holly, you touched on this, about the idea of aging as loss and the things we lose, you know, oh, I've got these aches and pains, but what are we gaining? We're gaining enormous amounts of maturity and richness and wisdom and life experience, and then things that get better as you age too. We have so many birthdays or cards that bemoan age, like the happy 29 again kind of idea.
Very black and dark, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to be 29 again.
Exactly. What's so magic about that?
Yeah, and we kind of, you know, what if we reframed that to say like, hey, you're almost old enough to be really wise. Like, keep on going. You're almost, you know, we think of it not as all the positives that it really is.
And you know, Holly, you talked about how the stereotypes that we see and watch, that older people internalize them differently than younger people do. It's not good.
Right. I think what happens then is we begin to think that, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So we ourselves, as we age, are less likely to take on new things, to do new things, because we have internalized that is not something that older people do. I love the poet who wrote the book, When I'm an Old Woman, I'll Wear the Color Purple. I'll Wear Purple. The
I title was just something. Thinking of that. It's yeah. Jenny Joseph. I just looked her up on the break. Jenny Joseph.
Yes. Just a great book. And it highlights some of what we can experience as a sense of freedom with different types of you don't have the same kind of social pressures and peer pressures, and there is some sense of freedom as we age. And harnessing that sense of freedom and keeping at bay these stereotypes so that we try new things. I think the other thing, though, to keep in mind that I think Gabrielle talked about is that her parents were always adventurers. Her parents were always picking up and moving and doing new things. And so as we age, we're going to be similar to how we were when we were younger. We're not going to suddenly change. So if we were always an adventurer, if we can keep the negative images of aging out of our mind, we will continue to be adventurers. There may be some modifications and things that we may need to change. But really, thinking about ourselves over time, that our chronological age doesn't impact the types of risks, new opportunities, new things to learn, we can continue to do that as long as we keep those images at bay. Here in age-friendly Columbus and Franklin County, we have launched a positive aging campaign where we've taken photographs of local older adults and are sending out positive messages on billboards and buses. We're trying to make sure that young people at Metro Middle School are engaged with older people in age-positive curriculum. We have a student in residence living at Ohio Living Westminster Thurber in a studio apartment among older adults. And there's shared learning, and that shared learning impacts people of all ages.
I always think it's interesting that of the connection between very young children and older people, that young children don't yet, they haven't manifest the stigmas and the stereotypes yet, Gabrielle, right?
Oh, that's true with everything, with sexism and racism.
Right.
You know, you see that the children are just welcoming and open, you know, until they're taught these social ideas. And I think that's something we all can then, whatever our age is sort of question and look at our own thoughts on that. What are the preconceptions? And I think that there are also elements that get conflated. So for instance, the OK Boomer kind of ageist idea, the problem with that is not about age. It's about political or social ideas that somebody is holding, mm-hmm. that a younger person might be protesting. And so the problem is conflating it with age because, you know, for instance, environmentalism, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, the boomer generation ruined the environment. Well, that's not really true because obviously environmentalist movement came out of the boomer generation before that. You know, I mean, there have always been these incredible environmentalists. So we have to stop associating these things with old, you know, people as a dismissive factor and rather start looking at the complexity of it, of these are your sets of beliefs that I disagree with, or this is the way that I'd like to influence you from a different age, and then accept influence from the other age to, you know, have that back and forth of what one we can all share and learn from each other.
When I was, yeah, go ahead, Holly.
I was going to say, yeah, absolutely. I think the us versus them hurts all generations, and it doesn't take into consideration the social and political elements at play. And we're seeing that front and center with COVID right now. So as we spend time focusing on the older people versus the younger people, we're neglecting attention to frontline workers who are at the highest risk with this challenge. And so separating.
Yeah.
You know, when I was looking up to some verification on Chadwick Boseman, the late Chadwick Boseman, the tweet announcing his passing was apparently the most popular tweet in history. 5.7 million likes. And the next closest tweet was one from Barack Obama in 2017. And I think it's relevant here. It says, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion." And that's a quote by Nelson Mandela and or his age, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really powerful.
We're taught all these things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it becomes the connection between racism, sexism, and ageism. That intersectionality is something we really need to think about. Many states have decided to ration ventilators around COVID by age. So individuals of older age are lesser priority in accessing ventilators, should there be a shortage. Well, what we know, because of systemic racism and a cumulative disadvantage, people of color are experiencing aging-related challenges and healthcare issues at much younger ages. And so it's sort of a double whammy around ageism and racism.
Mm-hmm. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick suggested in March that those over age 70 should consider sacrificing themselves. And I'm thinking, whoa. I mean, talk about dehumanizing. Talk about Soylent Green. What? Gabriel Burton, I mean, you know, we're talking about entertainment industry and showing more, you know, creating more value and more balance there when it comes to representing people who are older. And we've got a lieutenant governor from Texas saying, and then walk the gangplank.
Yeah, I think that we're all sort of struggling with this idea of wanting, you know, leadership that is compassionate and is inclusive and is considering the long-term picture. And the idea of sacrificing older people is something that is economically just dumb, you know, because basically it would be devastating to our economy. So it's not a way to get the economy started. It's a way to actually really make things much more problematic for working families, for, you know, for a lot of industries that are having people above 70. I mean, it's just, yeah. It doesn't make any sense economically. So I think that we have to get away from that idea, or that it's, you know, children's responsibility and teachers to restart the economy. We're losing that connection, the connectivity that we need as a society and as a culture of understanding the richness that all of us bring to the table. And that a huge part of it, obviously, are people, you know, over 70.
And ironically, maybe contrast with what Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas said, Holly DeBelco-Shoney, is that a lot of families are living together now, either brought, you know, grandparents into the household because during the shutdowns and the COVID-19, they don't want to be separated from them. So they quarantine together. They're learning stuff.
Well, absolutely. And they quarantine together so that grandparents can help with childcare or help with distance education, as so many young people are going back to school virtually. We've always depended on older adults who are members of our family to help us with caregiving for our kids, and also for individuals who are in our families who are facing chronic health care conditions. And we need them in our labor force, too. So both informally inside of our homes, but also the number of older workers in our labor force has exploded and will continue to explode.
Holly DeBelco-Shoney, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Holly DeBelco-Shoney, Research Director of Age-Friendly Communities, Columbus and Franklin County, and Columbus-based filmmaker Gabriel Burton, director and producer of the short-form comedy series Old Guy. We'll post a link to that on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Gabriel, thanks as always. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much. And I hope that another thing Old Guy does is just gives people really good laughs of all ages.
It sure did me. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.